If you would, go ahead and pull out your message notes. They're in your bulletin. We're going to begin our series called Can You Hear Him Now today. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you for this time to be together. We pray, God, that your word would really speak to us and minister to us. Prepare us right now. As that song just said, fill our lives. We need you, Holy Spirit, to be even open to your words. We pray that we would have humble hearts and soft hearts so that your word would transform us. Thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody. We're beginning our brand new series called Can You Hear Him Now? Every day, several times a day, we are looking to make decisions, good decisions. We require the need to have guidance so we can make good decisions. Now, some decisions we make on a regular basis are really small, like, what do I wear to church this morning? Or, you know, when I go to work, which way should I go? Which route should I take? You know, if I don't shower, will anyone notice? You know, these little small decisions. But some of these decisions are really big. You know, my mom is really sick in the hospital. Should we have this surgery or not? I'm really in financial straits. Should we sell the house? My kid's acting up at school. What do we do as a parent? And so, I just think that wouldn't it be great if sometimes God would just text us on our phones and give us some answers? You know, we have this big question and like, boop, boop, boop. You know, we pull out the phone and there's the answer. You know, God, what do I do financially? Boop, boop, boop. Here it is, invest in this account. You know, God, my kid's acting up. What do I do? Boop, boop, boop. Take away his train. You know, it's all laid out for us. We just know. It would just be wonderful if we could have that kind of life where we just knew right away what God wanted for us. So we're going to begin our 3-week series talking about how to know God's will. How do we know God's will? Now, the Bible says that there's two ways to live your life. The first way is to live your life guided by God. And the second way to live your life is a life unguided by God. And there's a contrast. In fact, let's look at the verse on top of your outline. It says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. God wants to guide you. I will advise you and watch over you. That's a life guided by God. Then it switches to a life unguided by God. What's that like? Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. A life guided by God is one where you know what God wants for you, He's guiding you, and you sense His presence with Him. A life unguided by God is a little bit more painful. You may get to where God wants you to get to, but involves lots of cajoling and bruises and pain along the way. And God wants you to live a guided life, one where you know what He wants, and you know the next steps to take. The story is told of a woman who was taking her 3 kids for the first time to ice skating practice. Well, she didn't know how to get to the ice skating rink, so she kind of went using a map, but she kept getting lost over and over again and kept making the wrong turns. She stopped for directions several times and still couldn't find the place. In total frustration, she pulled over and she said, kids, let's just pray. And so they said, God, please show us how to get to this place. And sure enough, a few minutes later, they got to the ice skating rink okay, although they were an hour late. Well, next week, as they were getting in the car to get to ice skating practice again, the little 5-year-old said, hey, Mom, can we just pray first? Because sure does save a lot of time. And sometimes life is like that, where we just want God's guidance because we want to be saved through the pain. So here's my question for you. If you could have God text you right now with a question you have, a question of guidance that you're wondering right now, God, I need to make a decision, I don't know where to go, what question would you have for God? If you said, God, I knew you would answer me right now, what question would you ask him? Will you just take a moment, maybe write that down in your notes? What question do you want God to answer for you? Where do you need guidance right now in your life? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a step back and do an overview of the ways that God typically guides people in the Bible. We're going to talk 5 different venues of ways that God actually guides us. And what we're going to do for each of these ways is talk about what the Bible says, and then give you guys a question to deal with the way you want guidance, and then share a caution for each of these. So we're going to go through 5 different ways that God guides people. Make sense? You guys ready? All right, okay. Number one, God guides you through the Bible. God guides you through the Bible. If you are a Christian, you believe that this book, the Bible, is inspired by God. That God actually inspired the writings and therefore it has authority in your life. So one of the first questions you want to ask when you're seeking guidance from God is, what does the Bible have to say about this? What does the Bible have to say about this? Now, what I have found is that when we're looking for guidance, especially from the Bible, there's two kinds of guidances we're looking for. One I want to call the blueprint guidance, where it's straightforward, it's crystal clear. You know, when you have a blueprint, you know exactly how to build something. The other kind of guidance is more like a game plan kind of guidance, where you have a goal, but how you get there may change over time. So, for instance, blueprint guidance, where the Bible answers. You know, if you are asking God, hey, God, I need money, should I rob this bank? You know, the Bible has a blueprint for that. The answer is no. You know, do not steal. If that's the kind of guidance you're looking for, the Bible has some concrete answers to that. You know, or God, should I stay faithful to my wife? You know, the answer is yes. You don't need to pray about it. You don't need to ask other people about it. The Bible has it. It's the blueprint. But there's other things that we ask guidance for that the Bible doesn't address specifically. And those are more game plan things. Things like, you know, my kid is acting up in school. What should I do about that? You know, the Bible doesn't say specifically what to do, but the Bible does give a game plan of what it means to be a good parent and how to deal with your children. There are other things like that where, you know, you're trying to figure things out and the Bible may not address it specifically, but it provides principles. Where should I live? What kind of job should I take? So God guides you through the Bible. But the best thing about the Bible really isn't the to-dos and not to-dos and should I do this or should I not do this, but it's getting to know God better. Many years ago, I watched a PBS documentary on the civil rights movement, and I was really inspired by Martin Luther King. I thought, you know, I just need to spend some time learning about this guy. And so I wanted to get like the best book out on him. So I wanted to get a biography that just was, you know, well acclaimed, well respected. So I found one, I ordered it online, and then I got in the mail, opened up the box, and it was over 700 pages long. I've never read a 700-page book. Have you guys? Yeah, okay, well, yeah, great. and I've never, I actually read this, but I never will read another 700-page book. But I actually spent like a month and a half in this thing just trying to learn about this man. Luckily, it was well-written, so I got through it. But I remember putting it down, and it just felt like, I felt like I knew Martin Luther King a lot better. Because I had spent so much time just reading the story of his life. I would read the newspaper and think, I know what Martin Luther King would think about this. I would hit a situation, I think, I know what he would think about this because I just spent time in a story about his life. The best thing about the Bible and reading the Bible is you get to know who God is. And you begin, the more you know him, the more you begin to enter life and you think, I know what God would think in this situation. Because I've been spending time with him in his word. You confront a situation, you think, I know what he's like. And so because I've been spending time with him, I know what he would want me to do in this situation. The more you get to know God through his word, the easier guidance will become because you know who God is. So the first question is, what does the Bible have to say? Now, a couple of semesters ago, we started growth groups, and we didn't mean to do this, but one of the benefits of what we were doing with growth groups is we had the growth groups connected to what was going on in the sermons, and we'd have a growth group homework for people to fill out before they went to their growth group. Well, what I found about my growth group is that a lot of people, for the first time, were reading the Bible on a regular basis. Partly because they had homework to do and they knew if they didn't get it done, they'd get in trouble with their growth group. But we had people opening up their Bibles and reading it for the first time and really getting into it. And so we're going to do that this semester as well. But there's something about reading the Bible in community that really helps us read for the first time. A lot of us have a hard time reading on our own, but when we do it in community, it actually really helps. As an example, if you look on the back page of your sermon notes, you'll see a sample of a Bible study that we might use for growth groups. And so you can do this on your own. It's just something for you to do afterwards that connects to the sermon. But this is what will happen in growth groups, is each week you'll get homework like this that you do before your growth group, and you get to discuss it in community with other people. Now, one big caution about, you know, any of these venues that God uses to guide us, there's some cautions as well. The Bible is the supreme authority, but it can be used the wrong way. Sometimes people take certain verses out of the Bible and use them out of context, and really the better way to use the Bible is not to take one verse and make it define the whole Bible, but use the whole Bible to define the one verse. You know, the joke is told of a man, two men who grew up as friends, and one was totally uneducated, never did well at school. The other was really good at school, went to college, got his PhD. They both did fairly well economically, but the guy who had no education just made billions of dollars. He was mega wealthy. So the guy who went to college and did all his work went to his friend and said, "How did you make so much money? I worked so much harder than you. I did so much better than you." And his buddy said, "Well, I used the Bible as my guide." I said, "Really? What did you do?" He's like, "Well, one day I just closed my eyes, I opened the Bible, and I said, 'God, you lead me to what you want me to do.' I put my finger down and I looked and my finger was on the word oil. So I invested money in oil and it did really well. I made tons of money." It's like, "Oh, wow." And then he said, "Then the year later, I did the same thing. I said, 'Get God, guide me.' I opened my Bible, closed my eyes, put my finger down, opened my eyes, and my finger was on the word gold. So I invested money in gold, and it did really, really well." Well, so the guy who, you know, went to school thought, "Oh, this is silly. I'm going to use my friend's method." And so he did the same thing. He opened the Bible, closed his eyes, pointed, looked, and it was on chapter 11. So he thought he might need to declare bankruptcy. So anyway, that was... The point is, there's ways to misuse the Bible. You don't want to pick and choose, but you want to use the Bible as a whole and not misuse it that way. Don't use one verse to interpret the Bible. Use the Bible and to interpret each verse. So that's the first way. The second way that God guides us is through prayer and impressions. Through prayer and impressions. And what we're talking about here is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 143, oh, I forgot to read our verse from last time. Let me just go back to the verse from the first point, because it really shows how just dwelling in the Bible does wonders. It says, "Nothing is perfect except for your words. Oh, how I love them. I think about them all day long. They make me wiser than my enemies, because they are my constant guide. Yes, wiser than my teachers, for I am ever thinking of your rules. They make me even wiser than the aged." So the point there is, there's something about just being in God's Word where we gain His wisdom because we know Him. Okay, number two, God guides you through prayer and impressions. The verse here of Psalm 143 says, "Each morning, let me learn more about your love, because I trust you. I come to you in prayer, asking for your what? Guidance. I come to you in prayer, asking for your guidance." I am surprised, both in my life and the life of friends around me, of how much we wonder what God wants us to do. We stress about decisions, but that we never stop and actually pray and ask God what He might think about the situation. We're so much better at worrying than we are actually asking God and asking for guidance. And the Bible says that God wants to hear our request, because when we pray, He gives us guidance. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes hearing God's voice is a little hard. When I stop down to pray and say, "God, what do you think?" I hear lots of voices. Now, that made me, I'm not crazy, but I hear lots of voices. I hear, you know, my kids' voices, the things they told me yesterday. I hear my wife's voice. I hear my boss's voice. I hear my friends' voices. I hear my parents' voices. When I'm trying to make a decision, I have all these opinions, and it's so hard to filter out God's voice. Can you guys relate to that? And that's one reason why we want to be reading God's Word, because as we read God's Word, we get to know His voice more. As an example, when my newborn, or my oldest kid, Nathan, was a newborn. Actually, he was like one and a half years old. We went to a church and dropped him off at the children's church there. I came back after church to pick him up, but the way the room was arranged, it was just a crowd of kids all running around, really, really noisy, and they didn't let parents go in and get their kids. So I'm thinking, how am I going to get Nathan's attention? So on a whim, you know, his back is turned to me, he's playing with toys, I just yell, "Hey, Nathan!" And I don't know how, because I wasn't louder than all the other noise, but he heard my voice, he stopped, he turned around, and came to me. And I was like, how did he hear my voice amidst all the other voices? In reality, it's because he spends lots of time with me. He just recognized my voice. And the way we recognize God's voice is just by be spending lots of time with Him in His Word. And more, His voice comes through. We hear that voice clearer than the other voices. And that's how we hear God's voice. There's one story I had where I experienced this really directly. I was dealing with a chronic headache that was lasting me for about a week, 6 or 7 days, and it just wouldn't go away. I was taking medicine, I was doing everything I could. I finally, after a week, asked a friend to pray for me, and so we sat down and prayed. And as we prayed, I asked God, "You know, God, is there anything you want to say to me about this headache?" It's the first time I asked that after a week of headaches, and God said in an impression, now it's an impression, it's something that comes from within you, God said, "You know, John, you need to forgive your friend Peter." I said, okay, God, but I have a headache right now. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, thank you for the advice, but right now my head hurts. No, you need to forgive your friend Peter. Peter had done or said something I don't even remember that I was holding a grudge for. So I'm like, okay, I'll trust you, God. So right then in prayer, I said, God, I forgive Peter for what he did to me. Right then, my headache was gone. Just went away, just like that. And I thought, if only I had asked earlier. Because if I had not asked, I would have gone to doctors, I would have done all kinds of things. And God is saying, have you asked me? Have you just stopped and asked me? If you want guidance, then ask me. So my question for you as you think of the area that you want guidance in is have you asked God? Have you stopped and asked God and said, God, what do you think here? Will you give me guidance? Don't miss out on what he might want to say to you. Now there is a caution here as well. One is this. All of us have a desire to know where our life is going. All of us want God's guidance. And God wants you to ask him for that. But sometimes in that desire for guidance, we will not go to God, but go to other people for guidance. And God will often call that sin, especially in specific ways. So look in your outline, Deuteronomy 18:10. The Bible says, do not let your people practice fortune telling, or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums, or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. The Bible makes clear that it's okay for us to have hunger to know what God has for us in the future. That's okay. What's not okay is going to people other than God for that. So we don't go to psychics, we don't go to fortune tellers, we don't read astrology, we don't do those things because those things are ways that the evil one uses to misguide people. Instead, God says, come straight to me. You have the source. Don't substitute me. So that's the first caution. The second caution is, you know, sometimes we do hear wrong. Sometimes we ask God to speak to us and we don't get it quite right. And so it's important that when we hear from God that we check it out with other venues that we're going to talk about. We check it out with the Bible. Does it conflict with the Bible what we heard, or does it confirm what the Bible says? And you check it out with these other values. But you want confirmation from the other venues because sometimes we hear wrongly. We want to make sure we hear correctly. Make sense? All right. Third. Now these first two seem very spiritual. The Bible, prayer, Holy Spirit. These next three aren't going to sound spiritual, but they are. Number three is this. God guides you through circumstances. God guides you through circumstances, things that are going on around your life. There are times in your life where God will just open up a door, an opportunity that you think this must be from God. Or God will close a door that you thought he was guiding you, but he says, no, this is not the way to go. Years ago, I tried to get on a leadership team of a new church that was starting up. I really liked what this new church was doing. I said, hey, can I be on the leadership team? I really felt like God was leading me in this direction to be on this leadership team of, I don't know, 10 people. And I asked them, they said, you know, we prayed about it, and the answer is no. The answer is no. Not that you can't be part of this church, but this leadership team is set right now. We're not looking for new people. And I was just devastated. I thought, God, I thought this is what you had for me. But he closed that door. What happened is I ended up going in a totally different direction, doing ministry with college students, and that lasted 9 years, and it was the right thing to do. And as I look back, the no was the right thing. They should have said that, given the circumstances. But sometimes God will use things like that, open doors and closed doors, to guide you where he wants you to be. One of the best examples of this is the story of Esther. You guys remember the story of Esther? It's a very interesting story because God's name really hardly comes up in the book of Esther. But what's going on is the king of Persia is about to kill all the Jewish people in his kingdom. Unbeknownst to him, his wife is Jewish, but she's hiding it. And his wife's uncle comes up and says, you should talk to the king about this. He's going to wipe us all out. And Esther says, no, I can't do that. You're not really allowed to talk to the king about those things. And then Mordecai says, don't you see the open door? Don't you see you're in a unique position to speak to the king? He says, what's more, who can say but that God has brought you into this palace for just a time as this? Guidance. This is an amazing opportunity. God has put you in a situation. I believe God is guiding you here. And so sometimes God puts us in situations where it's really obvious because of open doors or closes doors. For example, You know, we have a privilege of being in a very multi-ethnic church. For those of you who know me, you know that my parents are Egyptian. That makes me Egyptian too. That's how it works. They were born in Egypt and immigrated. I grew up in a very Egyptian home. You know, if you went to our home, we'd have Egyptian, you know, posters and paintings and all that. The foods we ate, relatives were over. It was very Egyptian. But I went to a school that was mostly Caucasian, white, and Asian American. And so I was a little confused as a kid, but I was just very multicultural. I got to know a lot. You know, when I got to college, I was in a very Asian American environment, and I learned so much about my Asian American friends, brothers and sisters. And then when I started working in the college, I was among my African American friends and my Hispanic friends. And I think here we are in a multi-ethnic church, and I think it's very clear that God prepared me for this. He shaped me for this. And it's clear that I couldn't start a church that wasn't multi-ethnic, given what God was doing in me. What more is I married Becky. Now, some of you already know Becky, know her story. But when Becky and I first started dating, her parents invited me over to her parents' house for dinner. It was a very strange experience, because, first of all, Becky, stand up. Outside of being beautiful, Becky is also white. Do you guys notice that? Okay, all right, okay, you can sit down. So I go home, and I go to her parents' house, and I walk in, and Mexican music is playing in the background. Okay, interesting. We sit down and have a totally Mexican meal, you know, for dinner. Really good. You know, all and her extended family is there. There's about 12 of us, maybe even more. It was a big gathering. After dinner is over, her dad comes out with his classical guitar, sits down and starts strumming and singing all these Mexican folk tales, folk tunes. And the whole family is singing with him. So just imagine this room full of white people singing Spanish songs, eating Spanish food. Like, what's going on? Well, I find out that Becky's mom was born and raised in Mexico City. Her dad did his high school years in Mexico. In fact, her parents met in high school, were high school sweethearts. And so she has this bicultural thing in her that really affects who she is, that God shaped her that way. You know, we have our kid Nathan in kindergarten. He's in a bilingual immersion program at Foothill Elementary School here in Pittsburgh. And I saw Becky at the parents' meeting this last Friday or Thursday, whenever it was, just interacting with the parents in Spanish and in English. I thought, God shaped you for this. God shaped you for this. And so sometimes God guides us through what He's done in our past, and He provides guidance that way. That's our story. The question is, what's your story? How has God shaped you? What is He doing in your life as you look back that gives you guidance for the future? You may see things that He's been doing that you think, of course this is where God wants me to be. Of course this is what He wants me to do. Because as I look back, the circumstances shape me this way. Make sense? Now there's also a caution here. Because if we just rely on our circumstances, we're going to miss out on a lot what God has for us. We're going to miss out on a lot. Because sometimes what God has for us is much bigger than our circumstances. God will have great dreams for us, and we'll say, but I only have $10 in my pocket. And God will say, I don't care. Don't pay attention to your circumstances. I have a dream for you. So you want to be careful not to just rely on circumstances. Use them as a guide. But they need to be used in light of the other venues, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, and the other things we're going to talk about as well. So again, the question is, what has God been doing in your life to shape you, to give you guidance? Number four, God guides you through reason and research. God guides you through reason and research. The Bible says, do not forsake wisdom. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. If you love wisdom, she will watch over you. There are certain streams of people who are Christians who believe that it's okay to use everything except your brain when it comes to guidance. You know, it's like if you start talking about what's rational, they'll go, no, 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 that's not inspired by God. But God, the Holy Spirit actually works through our thoughts as well. In fact, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit renews our mind and makes us think more correctly. So it's okay to use your reason. It's okay to use your brain. It's okay to research as you're trying to figure out ways that you are looking for God's guidance. When we started this church, we didn't just move up and come over here and say, let's start a church. It was like 2 years of research. You know, when God first gave us the idea, I got my hands on every book I could about starting churches. And I just would read every night. Becky would make fun of me because that's all I read at night. You know, I had all these books on my shelf right next to me. I was doing research because I wanted to know about this. I hooked up with people who had started churches before me and said, how do you do this? Give me some tips. And they filled me in on so much. Before we moved here, we met with 15 pastors in the area. And we just said, hey, this is what we're thinking. Can you give us some wisdom? And we did our research. We found out about the community. We learned. We looked at the census data. Because it would have been really silly to just move up and not do any research. In fact, here's the principle. The bigger the commitment you're about to make as God guides you, the more research you should be doing. Don't get to into any major commitment without doing your homework. Don't marry that guy or that woman unless you've really done your homework on them. Do your research. Don't move to another state or another country without first thinking through what does it mean? What does it involve? Don't start a business. Don't do anything that requires a lot of commitment without first doing your research. The Bible says it is not good to have zeal, that means passion, without knowledge. Nor to be hasty and miss the way. You don't want to get so excited about what God is doing that you just do something and you think, oops, I didn't do any of my homework on this. It's not good to have zeal without knowledge. A man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. What they're saying is, sometimes people get so excited that they will jump to make a decision, and a month later realize, oh, what have I done? I can't believe it. What a mess I'm in. And you know whose fault it is? It's God's fault. And God said, it's not my fault. You didn't do your homework. You had zeal without knowledge. It's silly to just move forward quickly on big things without first doing your homework. Don't blame me. Don't blame God for that. So the question for you as you're thinking about a way you want God to guide you in a certain area in your life is, how big is this decision you're making? How big a commitment is it? And is your research proportional to that? Have you done your homework? Have you asked the questions? Have you read the books? Have you talked to the right people? It's really important because God uses your rationale when you're making decisions. Make sense? All right, fifth and final. God guides you through wise counsel. God guides you through wise counsel. The basic premise here is that God will use other people around you as His voice to your life. Those around you who know Him, who are mature in Him, God will use to speak to you. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. You know, together we're much better. Because together we can decipher what God is saying much better than we can alone. I love it in growth groups when people say, hey, I have two job offers right now. I'm not sure which one to take. What do you guys think? They're asking for guidance. Hey, I'm having a problem with this person over here. I have no idea what to do. What do you guys think? I love it when our growth groups begin to share with one another and share some of the decisions we're trying to make. And we ask for guidance because in our growth groups we have people who are mature in faith and have really good insight. And that's a real gift for us. And God uses that all the time to show us where He wants us to go. So the question for you in that, as you're thinking for God's guidance, is have you included other people in your decision-making process? Have you included people who you trust? Have you included people who are mature in their relationship with God? The Bible says this, now it's required that those who have been given a trust, in other words, those who you trust, must prove faithful. In other words, you don't want to get advice from anybody. You want to make sure those you're asking advice from have proven faithful with God, have a track record of following God, and you trust them because you know they are committed to God. If you make your decisions in isolation all the time, if you, when we're looking for guidance, always make isolated decisions, it's ultimately a sign of spiritual arrogance. It's basically saying, I don't need other people to hear God, I can do it on my own. That's arrogant. God provided you a church, provided you people around you to help decipher. And He's saying, be open to what I want to say. And the reason is, when you are on your own, you're blind in some ways to certain areas. All of us have sin, all of us have blind spots, and when we make decisions just on our own, we have blind spots that we don't even know about. There's sin areas, and so we ignore those areas. But when we have other people come in, they have their blind spots too, but it's not the same blind spots. So they cover. They cover the areas. And together, you are much able to discern God's will than you were alone. So So those are the five things. God guides you to the Bible, prayer, impressions, circumstances, reason and research, wise counsel. The big question is, what if these conflict? What if you're praying and you hear God say something? He says, do this. But then you talk to your community and they're saying, there's no way that God could have said that because of this. You look at your circumstances and it says something totally different. You do your research, that doesn't add, doesn't help at all. What happens when the different venues seem to collide? Well, I want to give a couple principles here. The first is that the Bible always trumps. The Bible always trumps, meaning that when things conflict, you always go back to the Bible as the source. God will never guide you in a way that's contrary to His words, and your community shouldn't advise you either in contrary to His word as well. And so the Bible always trumps. The second thing is, and I want to say this carefully because it could be taken wrong, that the Holy Spirit trumps wise counsel only if you're sure. Only if you're absolutely certain. Only if you're absolutely certain. There are times that God will guide you to do radical things your community will not understand. More often than not, the community is right, but there are certain times where you just know from God in a clear way that you're supposed to do something. The reason I say this cautiously is I've met so many people who use this as an excuse not to include community in their lives. They just want to do their own thing. But really, you do want to include wise advice, wise counsel from others. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will trump that. So word, then Holy Spirit. The last thing I want to say is, if you are trying to make a decision, but you're hearing different signals from different venues, God may just be saying, don't make the decision yet. Just wait. Just wait until some of these things begin to overlap more. It may be that you're not hearing correctly right now, or certain things haven't come in place yet, but God may be saying, just wait until these things line up. Now, I was saying, there's a few categories when it comes to hearing God's voice. The three categories, I'll talk about them again. One's the blueprint, the other is game plan, and the third is freedom. Blueprint, game plan, and freedom. And what I mean by this is this. There are certain things where God is crystal clear. Do this, don't do this. That's the blueprint. There are certain times where God isn't crystal clear about the specific decisions, but is clear about the game plan in terms of the principles. You know, I want to make you into a generous person, or I want you to be financially secure. He may not do the crystal clear steps, but He is giving you a game plan. But there are times where you're trying to make a decision, and it lines up with the Bible, everything you're thinking, it lines up with counsel, but there are still lots of options. And God may be saying, you know what, whichever way you choose is okay with me. Now that you've kind of checked it with the Bible, you've checked with counsel, you've prayed about it, I'm giving you some freedom to choose. An example in my own life. Years ago, I got two job offers at the same time, which doesn't that sound really good right now during our economy? I got two job offers at the same time. One was in San Francisco working in a t-shirt print shop that employed drug addicts who were in recovery. A Christian ministry that, you know, sold t-shirts and employed. I thought, this is great. Now, I wasn't living in San Francisco, so the commute would have been really hard, but I was really excited. At the exact same time, I got a job at UC Berkeley as a computer technician in the Department of International Studies, which was much closer to my home, and I'm already a computer guy, so that really fit. And I was just in agony. I'm like, God, which job do you want me to take? They paid the same. There was really nothing. And I was in agony. I thought, if I pick one and I pick it wrong, I'm going to regret this for the next 5 years. I really want to get this right. And so I agonized, and I finally got a friend. We prayed together, and again, I got an impression from God. It was actually from Jesus, and Jesus showed me a picture. He showed me His two hands. In one hand was one job, and the other was the other job. He said, John, I'm giving you freedom to choose. Either one you choose is going to lead to me. So it's up to you. And there are times when God guides that way. Well, there may not be one specific thing, but God's will is great, and you can choose either, and God gives you freedom in that. And so there are times where you don't have to agonize over the specific details, but are you in His will? If you are, He might give you freedom to choose. I chose the computer job because the commute was really hard, in case you're wondering. But it was God's freedom to give that to me. So I want you guys to relax and remember that there is a lot of freedom. You know, when you have to choose what color of socks in the morning, God may say, it's up to you. I don't really care. But there are some bigger decisions like that as well. But relax, remember that the main thing is how you live is far more important than where you live. How you live is way more important than where you live. And here's the story. I won't read the whole thing, but it's in your outline. Two guys, Abraham and Lot, come to a piece of land in the Bible. They have lots of relatives, lots of sheep, lots of cows, and they're sharing the same piece of land, but the problem is the land can't sustain both of them. They're ruining the land. And so Lot's people and Abraham's people are fighting together, and Abraham and Lot talk. And Abraham says this. He says, look, Lot, there's not enough room here for both of us. Let's not fight. You pick. If you want to move over to the left, I'll choose the right. If you want to move to the right, I'll choose to the left. Either way is okay. And so Lot chose one way, Abraham went the other way. But what was significant about Abraham in that is he let Lot choose a better land. And I think God was much more concerned about Abraham's heart, who he was, than he was where Abraham ultimately lived. And so as you're looking for guidance, one of the big questions is, how is your heart right now? God may not care what job you're at. He wants to know what kind of employee you're going to be. He might not care exactly where you live. He's wondering more what kind of neighbor you're going to be. He may not care which... Well, I want to be careful how I say this. Don't get me quoted bad on this. But there may, if you're single and you're trying to figure out who to marry, God may be concerned of who you are as a husband or a wife more than the specific person you're going to marry. Don't misquote me on that one. But who you are matters a lot more sometimes to God than the specific decision you make. So the big question is, as you're looking for God's guidance in the future, how's your heart right now? Are you being faithful right now with what's right in front of you? You may be wondering what God has for you 10 years from now, but the question is, God's saying, well, what are you doing right now? You may be wondering, or God, what kind of job are you going to give me? He's saying, well, what kind of employee are you right now? Who are my kids going to be in 15 years? What kind of parent are you right now? That's probably his bigger question. You know, when God created Eden and he created Adam, you know, he just gave Adam a couple guidelines. Don't eat from here, don't eat from there. But outside of that, have fun. There's lots of freedom. And sometimes God just sets some boundaries, but he gives you lots of freedom. God let Adam name all the animals. And Adam wasn't fretting of, oh, should I call that an elephant or a pig? I just don't know. There was freedom. God gave freedom. And sometimes God just sets the boundaries and gives us room to choose. My friend Susan tells a story of once she was in a country that had little to no electricity, and it was nighttime, and she couldn't believe the number of stars she saw. And I don't know if you've ever actually looked at the sky when there's a blackout or when you're going camping, but there's a lot more stars than we normally see. And she was just in awe. But she was walking at night all alone, looking at the sky, just thinking, God, how great are you? Oh, God, you are amazing. And God, I want to be in your will. What is it, oh, God, that you have for me? And as she asked that question, she tripped and fell into a pit. And she realized after that sometimes we have our heads so big of what God has for us, where he has us be, that we forget what's right in front of us. And we just trip. And God may be wondering more, what's right in front of you? Pay attention to that. How's your heart? Who are you? The main principle is this, at the bottom of your outline. In everything you do, put God first. And he will direct and crown your efforts with success. You want to be successful? Put God first. And he promises to direct you. He promises to take care of you. I asked you earlier, where is an area that you need guidance right now from God? If he could text message you right now, what would you want an answer to? Well, I want you guys to look over those five different venues, five different areas of how God guides you. Which one do you need to focus on for your area of guidance right now? Do you need to go back to Scripture? Do you need to pray and hear God? Do you maybe look at your life and see how God shaped you? Perhaps you need to do some homework. Or maybe you just need to get some trusted buddies around you and ask for their counsel. What I want you to do is circle one of these that you need to focus on. And do that this week. Do that this week. Well, this is the first of a three-part series. Next week, we're going to talk about the whole idea of hearing from God and prayer and the impressions. And sometimes we have a hard time hearing that, so we're going to hit that topic next week. How do we hear God, and what happens when we're having trouble hearing, when there's static on the line? But right now, I just want to close this in prayer. I know there's some of you here who really want God's guidance. There's a situation you're in where you're just saying, God, I need you to tell me what to do, and I want to pray for you. There are also some of you here who are here this morning, and you realize that, you know, Pastor John, you've talked about two ways of living life, a life guided by God and a life unguided by God. And I've been living that life unguided by God. I've been living a life that on my own will, on my own timeline, I want to switch over and live a life guided by God. So I want to pray for both of you right now. So why don't we bow our heads and pray? God, there are many people here who are needing to make some pretty big decisions. Should they move or not move? Should I quit my job and look for another job? Should I sell my home? God, I don't know how to raise my kids. God, there's some health issues. I need to make some decisions. And if you're in that situation right now where you do have a big decision you're trying to make and you really need some guidance, or there's a situation in your life and you really need some guidance, I'd like to pray for you. So if you would, with your eyes closed, just raise your hand so I can pray for you right now. Great. Yeah, hands all over the room. Okay. Great. I see you guys. I'm going to pray for you right now. God, I just pray for these people. They really want your guidance. So, God, I pray that through your word, through prayer, through community, through research, God, through reason, that you would make clear to them the path you have for them. God, I pray that they would put you first where they are right now. That they would trust you where they are right now. And God, that as they do that, you will begin to open the doors and show them the path they're to take. God, you in your word says that your word is a light into our path and a lamp into our feet. And Lord, we just pray that right now that their path would be made clear. God, I pray they wouldn't worry, but they trust that you love them and have a great thing for them. So I pray and lift them to you right now. And I know there's others of you here who realize as you're here that you live a life unguided by God. And you've experienced the bumps and bruises of doing that. You've made some decisions, but you're also feeling a lot of pain. And this may be your morning of saying, you know what, I want to repent. I want to change. I want to live my life guided by God, not unguided by God. If you have never made that decision before, if you've never said, God, I want you to be my God. I want you to be my leader. I want to let go of the driving, the steering wheel of my car and give it over to you. I want to pray for you. So if you would, go ahead and raise your hand if you're in that situation. I'd like to know who you are so I can pray for you. Thank you. Yeah, I see you. Great. Anyone else? Yeah, I see you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, I see three hands here. Good. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else want prayer? Want God to be the guide of their lives? Great. Yeah, I see you back there. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just pray for these people who are admitting right now that they've been leader of their own lives. And God, they want to confess that to you and ask you for forgiveness. And God, right now, what they want to do is let go of the steering wheel of their car, of the life that they live, and let you be the driver. Let you take over. They want to live a life guided by you. So God, I pray that they would understand that you forgive them, that when they come to you and ask for that, that you forgive them and give them a new life. And God, you hear their commitment to want to have you as their leader. So God, we just celebrate that and we say thank you for the new life here. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give God a round of applause.